Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and inquiries for the WIBR Warn Radio Network to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can find us on Sayscape, Telegram, USA.life, MeWe, ParlorLink, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Pure Social, and Gab Social, and Linktree. So you can find us on all those social sites. You can also listen to the shows through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. You can also listen to the shows by going to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Don't miss the following articles by The Watchman. This week we feature American Choice. American choice, blessing or cursing, has not been a concern over the decades since my birth. For that matter, in recent memory, you can attribute an attitude of America that is anti-Christ. We also have American Clarity. American Clarity, radicalized agenda, has many wondering how this nation got to the point of such upheaval. The years of division in America have drug on. And last but not least, Comforters of Job. Comforters of Job that show up in times of trouble is an experience all its own. Not all who come to help or comfort those in trouble are like those in Job. So go to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com, and there you'll find the articles, and please pass them on to your friends. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, beans is it's not December or January, February, and it's not cold, and we don't have a ton of snow anymore.
And it's almost April. A week from today will be April 1st. That's
hard
to believe.
Yeah, April Fool's Day. That's the day they're going to celebrate the Democrats took over everything on April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
April Fool's, we won!
Yeah, that ain't much of a good thing.
Yeah, April Fool's. Biden wants to run again. That ought to be fun. Second term, no telling what he will put in there.
Nobody would vote for him in. Well, the way the Democrats are cheating, they might.
Are you kidding me? There's a lot of Americans that are all for this stuff. We are a divided country.
Yes, we are.
And any time you take a president that gives you a great economy, talks about morals and values, Christian morals and values, stands up for the persecuted church, wants to make America great again, and you hate him, then there's something definitely wrong with the country. And that's what's the matter with America. You know, There's a whole bunch of people that are righteous, they're Christian, they're opposed to all this stuff, and you've got a whole segment that are nothing but a pagan worshipers of the flesh, corrupt, and everything else. Now, that's where we're at. You may not like it. Tough manure pile. That's the way it is. We've got a whole world full of that. Not everybody in the world is going to be saved, contrary to popular opinion. Now, the devil would like you to believe that.
That's right. Well, I want to ask for special prayer for that Jack Phillips. He's at Baker in Colorado, and they're going after him again.
Yeah.
The radical left agenda. And it just ticks me off. You know, he had to fight with these people under Obama. And Trump, when Trump was in, we didn't hear much of this stuff going on, the persecution of American businesses, you know. And now that Biden's in, they're going after him again. So he really needs prayer that you would hold him up in prayer, that he would be delivered of these wicked people and that he'll be able to stay in business. They are out to literally destroy him and his business. They are wicked, and may the Lord reward them with hot coals upon their head.
Well, you know, it is a righteous thing for the Lord to render tribulation to those who trouble you, Paul says. So that's entirely possible.
Yeah, well, may it fall upon their own heads what they're trying to do to him and other Christians. This is just pure out-and-out demonic wickedness.
Now, I can tell you, according to the Monitor, that during the last segment, Tower telling you this latest little bit, she really believes that because the voice inflection is a lot more than she had. In other words, it's louder. Yeah, the minute you started doing that, yep, she means business. There it is.
Makes me mad.
Yeah, you can tell that. Well, it is maddening. It's a bunch of garbage, but that's the way the devil works. That's the way the left works. And then they turn it around, you know. You know, she was saying, you know, that she believes he's good and righteous, but he's got this wrong. Well, that's because she's transgender.
Yeah.
And
well, she went, this woman is a lawyer, and she went after him, or she called him to set him up and ask him to make a cake with blue on the inside and pink on the outside for celebration of being transgendered, and he refused. And so she filed a lawsuit against him, and he won in the court, in the Supreme Court. And now he's got to go back. They're taking him back to court again for this nonsense.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that if I was him, I would have a yellow cake, a chocolate cake. I'd have a white cake. And, you know, I'd make about 6 different cakes. And that's all I'd make. That's what I make. There it is. You want those? There it is. And then I would have certain ingredients that you could put in them. And then I would have certain colors of frosting you can have. And that's it. I'd say, that's what I do here. This is it.
And then you had made a suggestion that I thought was really good. Give them their own decorating kit.
Well, yeah. I said that years ago when they began it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he needs to put up decorating tools and everything else. Now, he has a right to do what he wants to do. But in order to get around these dipwits, just because they're lawyers doesn't mean they got any brains.
Well, the thing that angers me is
Congress is filled with lawyers, okay? That ought to tell you something.
And Christians have no, you know, business owners have no right to refuse service anymore. It used to be that you could refuse service and the people would go down the street and do business somewhere else.
That's right.
But not anymore. You're not allowed to do this. Now, if the shoe was on the other foot and she owned the bakery and he wanted a cake with a Bible on it, and
that's exactly right.
She would have refused him
and gotten away with it.
Yeah.
And that's the way the culture is, and that's the way it works.
Doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it right. There's a lot of injustice. so at any rate. And that has everything to do with Isaiah. It's about wickedness.
Yes. So tonight, we're doing The Lord Will Save, and that's Isaiah's prophetic book, part 86. The Lord will save brings into the conclusion of chapter 33 of Isaiah. This also introduces us to the next two chapters. For if any theme existed here in chapter 33, it is this. There are enemies of the Lord and his people. The Lord works to deliver his people, justify them, bring them to him, all the while bringing down the powers of wickedness. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, that we have hope in you.
Well, you know, as much as you look at the prophets and you think they don't, you know, even compare to today, you can actually find everything. You can go back in Psalms. You can go through the entire Old Testament, and you're going to find people that believed in God. And of course, they weren't with the new covenant we have, but they still had a covenant. And they believed in the Lord God, and they had enemies. The enemies wanted to kill them and destroy them. We've got the same thing today. You have enemy plots, you know, and everything else. And you can literally, you know, see the whole thing laid out. So we are in part 86, and we're going to have to get going on this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, we left off at Isaiah 33:17, which says, "Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, and they shall behold the land that is very far off." And of course, this is all the blessing after the Lord had delivered Israel. And when you think about what's being said here, it's also prophetic, because when we think of see the king in his beauty, we think of the Lord on his throne when we're all gathered together with him in his kingdom. And because it is specific that he has to rule and reign for 1,000 years, fulfilling the greater throne of David. The greater king of David, or the greater son of David, I should say, and fulfilling his rule and reign. And you see him on his throne in all of his glory. We're all gathered around. You know, that's what that reminds me of. And so, you know, in the whole thing here, you know, you have Judah who has been delivered of an enemy. But see, there's coming a time, as I've said many times, that Judah will not be delivered, and that will be Babylon, and it'll be detrimental that Judah will be overtaken and pillaged. You know the story. And the whole thing goes here is that Judah learned its lesson under Hezekiah. And the people were blessed, but that didn't stick long enough, because there were other generations that came later. By the time you get up into the time when Babylon took Judah. So there is a lesson here, you know, and if you're not going to sway from the Lord, if you're not going to fall away, you have nothing to worry about. But the problem with Israel, they fell away. Now, in Isaiah 33:18, now we're going to continue this line, and it's still referring to the Assyrians and to what has happened. The last one was about the victory and about seeing peace throughout the kingdom, and you'd see the king. King Hezekiah was a good king, well, compared to some of the previous kings. Thy heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? And we covered these. And what we have here is a look back. You know, when you get delivered, you know, and you have such high emotions. I mean, when you see a vast army, 150,000, right at the gates, of Jerusalem, and they're calling you out. That's what Rabshakeh was doing, and called out your God. And then all of a sudden, in one night, they're all gone, and Sennacherib's dead, killed by his sons. So you have this whole thing, and you look at it, and here we're looking back, we're relaying what went on. We're reminding ourselves. You're going to say, where is the scribe? You know, who was the a prominent class of officers, or the receiver, the one who weighed the tribute? Where is he that counted the towers? Now, who these people are, the ones that are going to be telling the army everything they need to do. And so you're looking at the prominent ones who were counting the towers, who were telling him, do we have enough strength? How do we go ahead? And, a lot of this stuff. And, of course, there was weighing the tribute. Of course, they have to weigh the tribute that's paid to them. Now, see, the problem with that is Jerusalem paid a tribute, but yet they decided to attack Jerusalem anyway, or Judah anyway. And of course, this also refers to paying the army. You know, the army got to get paid. Well, what happened was there was no army left. And the tribute was still left behind. Because guess what? When you have 150,000, almost everybody destroyed in one night, and you're the king and you have a couple aides with you, you can't take all the tribute back with you. You're going to leave it there. Why? Because you're running for your life. And that's exactly what Sennacherib did. He went into the house of his God, and his two sons killed him there. Well, why would they kill him? Well, simply put, you got a king that went on a rampage, and he was victorious, and he went to Jerusalem, and he lost the entire army. Now, you can't go back to your people and say, well, here I am, the great king Sennacherib, and I just lost 150,000 men. Well, that don't go good, especially when you're fierce like the Assyrians are. They're not going to put up with that. So he got killed. He died. And, of course, it was him and Rabshakeh, you know, that was actually challenging the Lord God. And he did, out and out. And so, you know, that ain't going to go good if you're the king and you allow that. I mean, you as the king, a pompous piece of flesh calling out the Lord God, and this is even what Scripture calls for. You know, when you look in some of the Psalms, they say, show the nations of men that they're but men. Rise, O Lord, and come to the judgment. Because that's the problem when you go so long and you see everything happening in the world. And, well, look at COVID in America. You have some of these governors acting like they're gods. They tell the people, the churches even, when they can go, what they can do, what they can't do. They were even telling them they had to wear masks when they sing, or they couldn't sing. They had to, I mean, ludicrous, stupid, idiotic, moronic. And then they would fine them. You know, like they're going to destroy the church because the church won't pay attention. And it's not just the church. But, you know, you have some of these people that are acting like we're suffering from one of the worst plagues on earth. This COVID that everybody is all masked up about has a 97%, 98%, I think it even goes high as 99% recovery rate. I mean, give me a break. What would you do if you really had one of the old flus where you had millions dead? Give me a break. At any rate. So Isaiah 33:19, thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of deeper speech, that thou canst perceive of a stammering. Well, a stammering, because you don't understand him. It's like a ridiculous tongue. You can't understand him. Now, see, the problem. Now, see, in Isaiah 28:11, Isaiah actually refers to this. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Who? The Lord God. And the reason he's speaking to Judah at the time regarding certain aspects is because Judah was falling away. They were not where they needed to be. And although, even though some of the past rulers who were so wicked and led them astray, like Ahaz and Jezebel. Now you have Hezekiah, and even Judah still isn't out in the woods, out of the woods. They were still not where they needed to be. So he is going to speak to him. Now, what does that mean? Well, since you're not going to listen to me and you don't listen to the prophets, I'm going to send this army and they're going to wake you up. In other words, tribulation. And so they couldn't understand him. Now, see, we know now, and they had to have had interpreters on the wall, but for the most of the people, until someone told them, you know, it was just a ridiculous tongue. No one could tell what they were talking about. But this very same thing also is exactly what a number of people, I mean, it is common when you talk about the phenomena of speaking with tongues and the evidence of speaking in other tongues on the day of Pentecost. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, and that's exactly what he did. The outpouring, I will pour out of my spirit. Joel even talked about that. So at any rate, there's a lot of connections here when we look at prophecy, but see, when God speaks, if you're not going to listen, he's going to get your attention. Now see, in the new covenant, as Christians, you know, you live your life, you serve the Lord. Now, if you're not right where you need to be, he's going to do something to wake you up. I mean, you can depend on that. Now, you may not have an army like, you know, Judah did. 150,000 right at the gates to wake him up, you know. He's not going to send an army to your front door. I'd be surprised. You know, to wake you up because John isn't where he needs to be. And John won't listen, neither will Mary. So I'm going to send this. Well, he does send stuff. He does wake you up. You know, the Lord says that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. As many as he loves, for God so loved the world. Now, that's what it says in John 3:16. So if he loves all the world, and that's not the things in the world, that's the people, folks, the people. So if he loves all the people in the world, how many are you going to rebuke or chasten? Well, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, that's quite a lot. So if you think on that, you know, as much as you love God and as much as you want him to love you, he does love you, but he's going to treat you as a father. And he will chastise you. He will spank you, so to speak. Now, see, Israel was no different. But see, that was the old covenant. And there was one nation that God was working with right there, Israel. And then they divided into two camps, the northern tribes and then the southern, Judah. And both of them ended up getting overrun because they weren't right with God. Judah was brought back in the land after 70 years. The northern tribes weren't. They were lost to history. There's still a few of them, and we're still finding some of them. But even today, if you look at Judah today or look at Israel and Jerusalem, in this fourth election that they've had, they still couldn't form a government, so they're going to have to go along the way they've been going for another, I think, 2.5 years and have another election. That'll be the fifth election in order to try to form a government. That's how messed up Israel is over there over this stuff. And so it's too bad, but, you know, that's the way it is in the world today. We are in a new covenant today, but God has not forsaken Israel. Now, in verse 20, it says, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Now, solemnities, celebrations, your religious rites. You know, you have the pilgrim feasts. And one of them was Pentecost. And so you had Jews from all around the Roman Empire, that the ones that had the money. And they could do quite well, the Jews in the Roman Empire. As long as it didn't cause trouble, there was no persecution of them. The Roman Empire was very willing to allow people, religions, to exist under the Roman banner if they would get along and not cause trouble. But if they did, they'd get in trouble. So there was a lot of Jews that did travel to Pentecost. And that's where they heard Peter speak, and that's where a lot of them got saved. I mean, they came to know the Lord, and that's why Paul took time to write Romans, to address to the Jews that were there, along with some of the Gentiles that were in that church, some important things that needed to be discussed. Now see, when you look at Israel, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, where you have all your religious celebrations. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords be broken. Now you see, there was a time you had Solomon, who actually built the temple, but up till that time they had the tabernacle. And of course, when you get into Judah, and when Babylon came along, they did have the temple. And that was the temple that was destroyed. That was the temple that was taken down. That was the temple that the Lord said, not one stone shall be left on top of another, when the apostles showed him how beautiful the temple was. Because there was a lot of pride in that temple. But the Lord said, not one is going to be left. When he was weeping over Jerusalem, he said, I'd like to have gathered you as a mother hen does her chicks, but you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's what happens when you fall away from the Lord. But see, in the case of that, see, the Lord had come, and he was coming and bringing the new covenant and dying for everybody, and a lot of the Jews wouldn't listen. They didn't want it. And the scripture prophesied that he went to his own and his own received him not. So there's a lot of issues here when we talk about Israel. And there's a lot of issues when we talk about, on this side of it, the Gentiles, because there's going to be a time when the Gentile nations are going to make war and they're going to attack Jerusalem again. And they're going, the last Gentile army, and it will be headed up by the beast. And so this will be, when he gets defeated, that will be the last of the Gentiles, as far as the rule of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles will be officially over then. Although many people try to make the time of the Gentiles stop different times, but the time of the Gentiles are still going. And remember, although you have a lot of the Arabs who came out of the line of Ishmael, they were blessed to be great nations too, because they were still part of Abraham, but the promise didn't go through them. So they really classified as part of the Gentiles too. And they're going to be gathered with all the rest, and they're all going to be facing off in Jerusalem. And the Lord said, I'll gather them there. So make no mistake, you know, when we talk about Zion and everything that it is and how it is, now see, if they hadn't have had the deliverance that that came because the Lord God got rid of the threat of the Assyrians. But you see, fast forward, and this is why this is a picture in a mirror here. And it's deliverance, and it's reminding them. It's like when you do something wrong or fall away as a believer or do something, and the Lord will, he will forgive you. You come up, you forgive him. I mean, you ask him to forgive you. You know, I'm not going to do it again. You go through it. You feel sorry. Okay. You go back to church. Everything's going on. But you see, remember what you told the Lord. See, he doesn't forget. And so you have these, all these celebratory Jews that are here now, and they can go ahead with their solemnities, they can go ahead with their feasts, they can go ahead with their holy days, no problem, you know, just have at it. Oh man, we're back with the Lord our God, everything's fine. We have a few issues here, and they did. They would have had, you know, a lot of supplying of the food problem. And could be a problem with their water, too, because of the vast army that went through it. There was rebuilding, you know, within the whole of Israel itself because of this army. Nevertheless, you know, they could continue, you know. You know, they weren't going to be disturbed. And the thing here, too, you know, Isaiah is telling the Jews to look on Zion, the place where you do all this. You're not going to see all this stuff, all these things being removed. You're not going to see them destroyed. You know, a little bit earlier, yeah, you thought you were going to lose it, but you're look upon the city. See, you've been delivered. Why have you been delivered? Because I did it for you. And Hezekiah is a good king, doing those things which are pleasant in my eyes. And you called upon me, which they did. Hezekiah did call upon the Lord. So they were delivered. So right there where the enemy came, the Lord delivered. And you know, we see a lot of times, even today, with the persecution of Christians and things. Yes, there's a lot of persecuted, putting in prison and things, but we do see them delivered. You know, Asiya Bibi was in the news here just the other day. I forgot to tell Tower about it. But she had some good news and things that was happening with her. And I don't talk about Asiya Bibi because I don't want to bring her up. I don't want her to be sought after or found. You know, there was a lot of radical Islam that wanted to do things to her. So I just... You know, she had some good news. She was in the news. I don't write about her. I don't say much about her. She needs to just be left alone, be with her family, and enjoy their life and thank God and rejoice in Him. Because evil is everywhere, and if you start getting out there and being seen, it's going to look you up. So, you have a place now where it is blessed. Just a while ago, it looked like it was going to be destroyed, but it's not. In verse 21, he says, "But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein else shall go no galley or oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby." And you know, whenever you see this and you look at rivers and streams, remember the Lord said, whoever believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And, you know, when you see the temple in Ezekiel and how the Lord talks about this, you know, we see rivers, we see water, we see streams, and what it is life-giving, nourishing, refreshing. And in a spiritual sense, water is, in a spiritual sense, what it really is in a physical sense, because without water, nothing can live, whether you be animal or beast. There's nothing. This planet can't survive without water. Now, you see the rocks, like Mars, for instance. Do they have an atmosphere? Not like ours. Do they have glorious streams going through it? No. What does it look like? It looks like a dry desert with rocks with a few strange sounds around. I mean, that's what came back from some of the latest stuff. There's nothing there. Just a rock we want to go to. But see, the thing of it is that the Lord here, meaning Yahweh, the covenant name of God, is that in this now they have found sustenance and blessing, life-giving, someone that will protect them, that will guide them and keep them. Now see, you look at that, okay? And then you look at what happens when Judah is destroyed by Babylon. It's the direct opposite. Jeremiah spent a long time trying to warn them, to tell them to repent, and they wouldn't do it. So here you see the ultimate blessing and refreshing. You see, now see, let's put it this way. Now see, you had Trump show up. There were a lot of people that hated him. There was a ton that loved him. But he was here to make America great again, give you jobs, make you safe by closing the border, and did all kinds of things, okay? I'm not promoting MAGA, but I'm just telling you. But guess what? A lot of people hated him. A lot of the liberals, the liberal news, they all forced themselves against him. And from the time he was in, Pelosi and the Democrats did nothing but try to impeach him and get rid of him. They hated him. Why? Because he loved America. He wanted to make America great. He wanted to close the borders. And, of course, they didn't like him saying Jesus Christ. He didn't like to see all the preachers around. He didn't like to see the patriots and Christians liking him and getting bolder. So now you've got Joe in there who is not MAGA, who doesn't believe in closing the border, and is totally opposite, and has put a whole range of people up there in his cabinet, and the lifestyles of which there are those up there whose lifestyles are a total abomination to the Lord God. Now, the churches, they've been silent. For years and years and years, many of the churches have been silent. And we have various little revivals going on. But see, a revival with just praising God and singing songs is not the revival we need. The revival you need is a gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching, soul-cleansing revival where people that are called the servants of the Lord God, who are born again through Jesus Christ and His Spirit, actually walk in holiness and truth and righteousness and obedience to the known will of God. That is who the church is. Just because you hang a sign out and you call yourselves churches, and all of a sudden the pastor decrees that homosexual marriages are okay, that's not okay. Now, we have laws. And transgenders, we've got all kinds of things that people are doing today that we accept. This is not the will of God. This is Mystery Babylon. This is the corruption of the last days. And this is what it's going to be. Whether you like it or not, whether you can stand to hear it or not, doesn't matter. You can hate those that absolutely believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Yahshua, and that He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that there is a righteous, true way that you need to be walking, and people need to be born again. You can hate them, and you can despise them, and you can crucify them, you can shoot them, you can behead them, and that's what's happening. We're reporting this around the world. But you cannot stop Yahshua from being Almighty. You can't stop him from intervening in an unbelieving Hindu's life. And he does that because the church is praying for him in fasting and prayer. And we see a miracle come out and they all turn to the Lord. We see more miracles in the impossible things around the world now than we have ever seen in the past. And yet America is on the precipice of Antichrist and unbelief. Now see, Israel had a choice to stay on the righteous side and do what God wants, and they did not do it. They were sent into captivity, and Israel, because of their sin, was totally lost the land, went out of the land. They were brought back in 48, and Israel to this day is still suffering from some of those things, those consequences. And see, America, you have been blessed. You have had everything going. And you can, it's just like this. You can stay in the blessing of the Lord, life-giving sustenance, or you can reject the Lord God, make up your own idea how God is to be, reject His Bible totally, and go your own way and say, this is what we're going to be. Then I'm going to tell you, you'll be the cursed of all nations. And America, you are no longer blessed. God has not blessed this nation in a long time. You may think He has, but He hasn't. And I defy the pastors that tell you that. They're liars. They don't know the will of God. I can tell you now that he will bless his Christians, his people that are walking in him. He will judge America. He will take America down. But in the same time, he will never forsake those who are his through Christ Jesus. Now you mark that down, you get in your Bibles, and you get your head out of the proverbial religious stupor that we have in this country, or you're not going to make it through. Because this same God that judged Israel is the same God that's judging America today. And I've been warning about this for many, 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 many years. And I'm not here to play Tootsie Footsie with you. I'm not here to just throw sugar plums out and make you feel good. I'm here to tell you the truth so you'll live, so you'll find blessing and sustenance and protection and safety. Lest you be like Israel, who are crying, "Oh God, save us," and they've been walking in a way opposite. They even rejected clear up to the end Jeremiah's words. And they were overthrown. There was no deliverance. So you remember this while we're going through Israel, because you may think, well, that's Israel. They always do that. I got news for you. The church is the same way. America is the same way. The European nations are the same way. We were watching and monitoring how the pastors, they were doing in the UK even. Make no mistake. It's not surprising the UK is overrun by Islam. It's not surprising that you have the troubles they've got in the UK. It's not surprising that you have even some of the stuff going on in Canada that was going, and it was going on years ago when we first started. We had listeners from Canada, and they were telling us what was going on, and they said, "You better watch out, because America's next." And I knew America was next. But you see, in verse 22, Isaiah says, "For the Lord is our judge." Now that is Yahweh, the covenant keeper name of God. As long as you walk in him, the covenant God is their judge. And when the Assyrians came, he judged them righteous enough to be delivered. Now, one of the scriptures I tell Christians to pray is in Luke 21, 34 through 36. You'll find it in there. "Watch and pray always that you will be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Now, does that say you're going to automatically go in the rapture? No. Does that say because you're going to your church, you're automatically going to go in the rapture, be saved from any trouble? No. Because I can tell you, Christians around the world, they're in their churches, they get hunted down, they get killed, murdered, beat up, raped, right in their churches. And the Christians back in the time of Rome, they thought the Roman church, and they had been taught that. That's the Holy of Holies, and when an army would come in, guess what? They'd go into the sanctuary of the Roman church in Rome. Guess what? The enemy went right in after them and killed them all. That's why one of the patriarchs of the faith had to write an article called "The City of God" and why some of these things happen. Yeah, the Lord is your judge. Whether you like it or not, he's your lawgiver. And the law came to us through Christ. He died on the cross, and now by grace through faith, if we, 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the love not their lives unto the death. I got news for you, folks. There's protocols here. There are things that are governing these end of times. And if you're going to be delivered, you need to be walking in a manner right. You need to be believing. You need to be seeking the Lord. But in the end, the Lord is the judge, the lawgiver, and the king. Now, see, this verse 22, that's what it says, but it ends with four words. He will save us. Now, you see, this is Isaiah speaking. This is also in context of having a righteous king, Hezekiah, who was going to make sure that they sought the Lord God. But what happened when the people changed their mind? Babylon destroyed the city. There was no place to go and sacrifice. There was no place to have your solemnities. There was no place that was safe there because you were now, if you were left in Judea or Judah, you were one of those who were working the fields and the other things. You didn't have much of a choice of anything because they had people that were taking over Jerusalem. And if you went to Babylon, you had to live in a pagan city for your Lord and God. And that's exactly why we have the stories of Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and the king and all those there. Because in the midst of judgment, even though they went in judgment, they were carried off, yet God was there. He protected Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, and Daniel. You know that story. We have some of our greatest prophecies came as a result of Daniel being in Babylon, in bondage, because being carried away captive. You see, just because bad things come doesn't mean God is not going to move. And see, this is where you need to grab yourself, literally. And you need to believe. And you need to say, no matter what my eyes see, I'm going to trust the Lord. Now, I have an article coming that came out today called Last Witness, Last Generation. And I talk about some of these things. Believe me, you can take Isaiah and you can throw it out and say, this has no relation to me today. I tell you, it has everything to do with how God deals with people and nations and his own people. These are here for you to understand and to learn. I don't argue these truths. I tell you these truths. Someone want to argue? Go argue with the Lord. See, because you have to have ears to hear. If you can't hear what the Spirit is saying, that's not my problem. That's your problem. You need to get back in a place where, as it says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Lord God is not a feminist. The Lord God is perfect and holy, and when he created Adam and Eve, he made them unique, different, and perfect. But we have corrupted that. We have corrupted the sexes. We have corrupted our kids and our children to make them twofold more the child of hell than we ourselves are. And woe be upon these generations that do so. For whosoever hurts the children of the Lord, those little ones who can't defend themselves, the Lord God's wrath will be upon them to the uttermost. Woe unto you, you vile. But blessings unto you who come unto the Lord for life and sustenance. 23, it says, Thy tacklings are loose. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of the great spoil divided. The lame take the prey. I like this because this reminds me of a ship out in the middle of a storm. And you're trying to make it come to starboard, but the problem of it is your rudder broke, your mast fell down, and you're just a bunch of heap in the middle of the ocean with waves just throwing you everywhere, and the rocks are coming. See, and that's what happened with the Assyrians. They came there in all their might and all their power. They had the people saying, well, they have so many up on the towers. They have so many aligning the wall. We know what they got, and their strength is we can take this, O king. They send out Rabshakeh to mock the God in order to bring the faith of the Jews down. But they didn't know that they were mocking God Almighty. So just as that ship is going to run into the rocks and be destroyed, so too the Assyrians who came in are going to find themselves destroyed. And this is prophecy by Isaiah. He's looking at this, and this is what he's saying in Isaiah 24. It says, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Now, make no mistake, when you look at all of this and the Assyrians come in there, this has everything to do that this particular thing had to do with God's displeasure and the sins that were happening. And if you see things coming into America you don't like and around the world, God is not happy with the sins in the world. He knew it would come. Paul described the perilous end of days. Because sin and iniquity will abound, he says. The love of many will wax cold. That's where you're at. It's not a fun time. But you see, the Lord sends judgment. And I can go back a ways and tell you these things and signs that God has given us. But you see, when God delivered the people of Israel or Judah, God was saying, I forgive you. Because they were seeking his face. They were going to be turning from their ways, you know, from what they were doing. They thought they were going to get destroyed. But when they finally saw that God had delivered them, and he did so out of his grace, folks. Well, grace didn't happen then. It sure did. God, at no time was God short of grace or mercy or love. And so, as when he delivered Jerusalem, that's why Isaiah says the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. They're forgiven. God is restating Judah back into line, saying, I forgive you. Just move on in here. Now, if you will read the seven letters to the seven churches of Revelation, Christ put that in there for a warning to the churches. A church is not an entity in itself. The pastor is not the supreme voice of God. The Lord has a relationship, but too many don't have that relationship with him. Now see, the next time this happens, there is not going to be any deliverance. And there's not going to be any forgiveness for many of them there. And many of them are going into captivity. Some of them will die in captivity and their kids will be captive. But those that come through this judgment, when they come back and return to Judah after all this is over, after 70 years plus, that is getting the new temple built and Jerusalem and the walls built back up, they're going to be a restored people back where they were in line with the Lord under the old covenant. They don't have to be in line with the new covenant. That hasn't even come in yet. People say, well, they're still in the old covenant. Well, of course they're in the old covenant because the new covenant hasn't come yet. You let God do the judging. Now today we do have the new covenant. Israel needs to be saved. The rest of the Gentiles need to be saved. And the bottom line of it is, we all need to draw closer to the Lord. Now see, that was an interesting chapter. Now we're going to go into chapter 34 next time. And we're going to discuss the judgment of nations. There's actually two chapters here that unite together. One is chapter 34 discussing about the judgment of nations. And the other is chapter 35 talking about the redeemed. And the one thing that you're not going to find any shortage of in the prophets is the day of the Lord. Now see, while in Christian churches today, we don't like to talk about the day of the Lord or judgment. We like to stay on the nicer side of things. But see, when you feed people sugar all the time and don't give them the truth, you know, your body gets sick. In order to have a healthy body, you need nourishment. And for the believer, it is the Word of God, the anointed Word of God, given through the Spirit of God, through an anointed person of God, who walks in obedience to the will of Christ. You need food. And that food is the eternal Word of God, Yahshua, who is the Word, the incarnate Word of God. And the Word of God we read. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your Word tonight. Bless this to those who hear it, whenever they hear it. Help them to understand it. Help them to be prepared. Help them not to be afraid or scared or upset. Let peace come into their heart. Let understanding come to them. Let them know in the chaos that they may find themselves in, that you're in charge. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness, from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Okay, Tower. So don't forget, Chapter 34 next week.
Okay. Well, if ever a people needed a message like that, it's us today. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
For God is ever faithful.
He is. Well, at any rate, I really do care. I really do like how this flows.
I do too. I like Isaiah.
Well, it's a good thing because we got a long ways to go.
I know. I always can compare it to America. The things that went on in Israel and the things America's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at any rate, another week about down tomorrow. We got sound the shofar. We're going to have to be getting out of here.
Okay. Well, good night, everybody. We love you. We pray for you. We hope the best for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay safe and look to Him. in all your woes and in all your good days, thank him. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglynsmith.com. Until next time, shalom. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.